Please stand with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting from verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Amen. I ask Brother Sabo Matei to please lead us in prayer. Tonight, the topic of my message is a simple question. Are you longing to be present with the Lord? Are you longing to be present with the Lord? Recently, I have been through some difficult times in my life, but the Lord has been merciful and he has encouraged me through the text that we just read. And I want to share that encouragement with you tonight. You know, I believe that Christians can be generally split into two categories. Those who consider themselves Christians, but in reality, they're attached to their belongings here on earth. Whether it may be their house, their car, their career, or even their children, they're attached to the things of this world. And then we have on the other side the genuine Christians who have basically spiritually detached themselves from all the belongings, all the blessings that they have received from God. You know, these men and women of God, they will give everything they have away freely if they're prompted by the Holy Spirit. And if I was to look deep inside their heart tonight, you know what we'll find? We'll find that these Christians have a longing to be with Christ. You know, the Bible says that a true follower of Christ is required to forsake everything he has. He needs to leave everything behind, take up his cross, and follow God. And I believe that God wants to challenge us tonight with this question: are you longing to be with me? You know, in the text that we read, I really like how Apostle Paul, he refers to our mortal bodies as earthly vessels or jars of clay. You know, it is so true that our body, it is so fragile. But at the same time, it's true that in this weak body, we can proclaim the glory of Christ. God is pleased through our weaknesses to show his power. You know, recently I was looking at some of my childhood photos, and I noticed that as I was getting older, there were less hair on my head and more on my face as I was looking at these photos. And you know, it's true because the Bible says that our physical body is wasting away. And no matter how much cosmetics, how much makeup we put on our face, you know, those wrinkles are eventually going to become more and more obvious. And I'm sure it's the same with you. If you look at a photo of yourself from 10 years ago, you will notice that you used to look a whole lot better. Why is that? Obviously, because our body is breaking down and it's getting older. But notice I didn't say getting uglier, because like Christ, we should discern a person's beauty not by their outward appearance, but by the love that overflows from their heart. But be honest with me tonight, how many of you got up this morning and didn't look into a mirror? Raise your hand up, be brave. If you didn't look into a mirror today at all, raise your hand up. Nobody. I don't blame the men. You know, the men's toilet right now, we don't have a mirror. It's such a blessing. Every time I go in there, it reminds me it is a blessing not to have to look at our outward appearance, not to care about that. I think most of you would agree that we are a generation that is truly self-obsessed. You know, we are constantly looking at our bodies and we are admiring or hating what we see. And I like what the Bible says about that. It says, everything we see with these eyes, everything is transient. This body is transient. This building is transient. This country is transient. Everything will eventually disappear. Nothing will stay forever. Everything will perish. And our bodies are probably going to perish before this building will. You know, some of you may know that my father has passed away recently. It is exactly 3 weeks ago today. He passed away after suffering a second heart attack while he was being treated in the hospital. A week before that, he had difficulty breathing. He had difficulty with his heart, but he's been ignoring that for the last couple of years. After this event, you know, I've come to learn that when someone dies in your family, one thing you realize immediately is that we don't have much time. You know, you realize that there is not enough time to reconcile with God, and there's definitely not enough time to do his will on this earth. You know, we often think that we have so much time to share Christ with our family and friends. We keep postponing it. We think we'll do it tomorrow. You know, when I heard this news of my father, my heart broke because I knew that he most likely died unsaved. You know, God gives us this window of opportunity to step out in his name and do his will. But what do? You know, we so foolishly waste these opportunities. We waste time. We keep putting it till tomorrow, but tomorrow is not ours. You know, if you could fast forward 100 years and look at our bodies here tonight, I guarantee you it's not going to be a pretty sight. Not for any of us. You know, we'll be gone in 100 years and some of us a lot earlier. And the Bible says that we should look beyond these things that can be seen by the eyes, because they're temporary, they're transient. We need to have our focus on things that last forever. And the Bible says, if this tent, referring to our body, it says, if this tent is destroyed, God has prepared for us a new building, a new house, a heavenly body which is eternal and it doesn't decay. So tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to draw our attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 that we read earlier. This is the main verse for us tonight. It says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Some translation says, we are always of good courage. You know, God has recently encouraged me through these verses, and He's given me a lot of hope, confidence. And I know that some of you here tonight who have little children, you know, it's not always easy to be of good courage at all times. I mean, think about it. You may have a 2-year-old child. You're in Fountain Gate doing grocery shopping, and your 2-year-old child decides to throw a tantrum. At the same time, you're rushing home to cook a warm meal for your husband. You know, at that moment when your child throws a tantrum, doesn't it feel like just the world is going to stop? You know, you feel helpless and exhausted. And my wife, like many other mothers here tonight, can testify as to how difficult it can be as a parent sometimes. How difficult it can be to have godly patience and love all the time. And notice that I didn't include the dads in there. Because, you know, to be honest, if you're the sole breadwinner in your family, chances are you're not home all that much. So you're not exposed to most of that. You know, the partner who stays home all the time, we take them for granted. You know, we take our mothers here for granted tonight. They are the ones who take most of it. But you know, some of you here who may be involved in any sort of ministry, you know that it is hard to be bold and confident all the time. You know, a lot of the boys here, we go to SLAM in the prison. You know, it's hard. Every time we go in there, it is hard to be bold and courageous. We just don't know what we're getting ourselves into. You know, it just doesn't stop there. All of us, you know, we have moments in our lives when something terrible could happen. You know, your loved ones may pass away, or you may receive a medical report that says you have cancer or you have some other terminal illness. So how are we expected? How are we expected to have good courage at all times? Apostle Paul, he describes these as momentary light affliction that we have to endure. But it's interesting, if Apostle Paul just walks through the door here tonight and says, brothers, sisters, be of good courage always. Imagine if Apostle Paul did that tonight. Wouldn't we just think, what planet is he from? I mean, how can he expect us to be of good courage always? I think he must be certainly out of touch with reality. I mean, isn't it interesting that when Apostle Paul says that, he's not referring to himself. He doesn't say, I am of good courage. You know why? You know, if he said, I am of good courage always, you know what will happen? I think some of us think that there are average Christians that have a lot of struggles in their life. And then there are these supernatural, special, surreal Christians that have special power. We put them up on these platforms. So if Apostle Paul came and said, I am of good courage always, wouldn't we just look at him and say, well, Apostle Paul, you're Apostle Paul. So yeah, I mean, of course that makes sense. You're of good courage always. I mean, aren't you the one who, after you were stoned for preaching, you got up and went right back into the city and probably preached again? Aren't you the one who had a vision of the third heaven? Aren't you the one that said, for I know of nothing against myself? Of course you'll be of good courage all the time. You know, if he said that, we might just write it off as that. But you know, he's not just saying that we should sometimes be of good courage. He's not saying that we should perhaps, when everything is going well, be of good courage. He says always. How can he say always be of good courage? It's almost like he's prepared for us to say, you know, I don't know about that. I am not really sure about that. Because he comes back right in verse 8, a couple of verses later. He says, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are confident, yes. Like if he started to say no, I don't think so, Apostle Paul. I don't think so. He comes back and says, yes, be confident. You know, I don't know about you, but in my life, I'm constantly, daily fighting a battle not to lose heart, not to be discouraged. And sometimes I feel like I'm just about to go over the edge. So does Apostle Paul really understand the struggles of these ordinary Christians like us? But you know, before we write him off as being out of touch with reality, think about his life. Think about how he lived his life imitating Christ and at the same time suffering all sorts of persecution. You know, I personally think if there is anybody who cuts through all the fluff about the Christian life and gets right down to reality, it is Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes when we read a verse like this and something bad is happening in our life, someone passes away, you read a verse like this, you know, unbelief can creep in. The devil comes right in and says, see, I told you. I told you the Bible is a delusion. It doesn't deal with reality. Nobody can be of good courage always. But before we jump into that false conclusion, I want you to consider this. You know, Paul, Apostle Paul is not saying that the wind will always blow in your favor. He doesn't say that there is never going to be any problems or that we should always walk around the church with a permanent smile on our face. This is not what Apostle Paul is saying here. If you look at this in context, Apostle Paul talks about carrying the debt of Christ in this body. He talks about living in the body which is decaying. He talks about affliction. And then chapter 5 verse 2, he says, for in this we groan earnestly. In what? In this body, in this tent, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. And in verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. So even though we are to be of good courage, we can see that Apostle Paul acknowledges that there is going to be a lot of pain, a lot of suffering in the body. So I hope you can see that the Bible is not out of touch with reality. It confirms that there will be difficult times whilst we're still in the flesh. But I want you to notice that not only does this always being of good courage grow in the soil of affliction, but it also grows in another kind of soil. If you go back to our main verse, chapter 5, verse 6, so we are always confident knowing, what do we know? Let's keep reading. We know that while we are at home in the body, listen to this, we are absent from the Lord. I want us to really let this verse sink into us tonight. Apostle Paul is not saying that we should be out of touch with reality, but he's saying that right in the midst of everything that you and I have to endure, we can still be of good courage. How? Through the hope that we have in Christ. We have a hope that the world doesn't have. We know something that the world doesn't know. Very soon, you and I are going to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. And it's clear, the Bible says that this is something we should prefer. This is something we should wholeheartedly accept and desire. So ask yourself, do I long to be with the Lord? We need to all have this desire, and not just during tough times. But even when everything is going well, we cannot let ourselves be attached to the things we have in this world. We have to realize that this body is just a dead weight. And for some of us like me, a very big and heavy weight. But regardless of how happy you may be with your body shape, I hope we're all looking forward to leaving it behind. I hope we're all looking forward just to be soaring into the heavens with Christ forevermore. So it should be clear to us now that Apostle Paul is not asking us to treat our pain and suffering as if they were pleasures, or the passing away of a loved one as if it was joy. He's not doing that. What he's doing here is that he's showing us where our mind needs to be focused on. He's showing us that we need to focus on eternity. So to be always bold, always courageous, always lion-hearted, always cheerful and full of hope, for us to be like this, our minds need to be set on something greater, something above what our eyes can see. You know, my mom lives in an apartment on the fifth floor. When I go to her house, I come out in the balcony. I can see beyond Dandenong Station, beyond all the other houses, beyond everything. And that's what God is asking us. Lift your eyes above this earth. Look beyond the things you can see around you and look unto the heavens. Look unto me. Fill your minds with godly things and stop focusing on all these temporary problems that we have. Everything that is competing for our attention every day. This is how we have to fight the fight. You know, every Christian in this room, God says, be alert. Be ready for my return. You know, in the next 100 years and even much earlier for some of us, every single one of us will pass away. I was thinking about that, as you would imagine why. I was thinking about that moment when it would be my turn on the hospital bed. You know, I think when the time comes, when you're face to face with death, we probably don't want to hear any other voice but a voice from heaven. You know, I think at that moment, I can only imagine that it doesn't really matter anymore what your parents say. Your wife or your husband may be next to you. It doesn't really matter what they say. Our pastor could come and visit you. It doesn't really matter anymore what he says. It doesn't matter anymore what the doctor says at that moment. You know, man's word and the comfort from them is not what you're going to need at that last moment. You're going to need a word from God, a word from heaven. I was looking at Revelation 14, verse 13. It says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from the labors and their works follow them." You know, most of us are not as familiar with this beatitude as we are with the ones in Matthew. You know, there's an irony in this beatitude. It says, "Blessed are the dead." It just doesn't sound right, does it? You know, we don't want each other to die. What does it mean? It's a blessing. You know, one thing is for sure, we better make our youth and our time count now. Don't postpone it. Don't leave it for another day. That is just pure foolish. So why do good men and women of God pass away? It seems like they have so much to offer. You know, sure, God delights in our lives, but is also waiting for us to be with Him. Notice how it says, how blessed are those who die in the Lord. So there is a condition. You know, if it didn't have this condition, then it wouldn't be a blessing, but instead it would be a curse. Because to die in any other way would be a curse. You need to ask yourself tonight, do I have a real, genuine relationship with Christ? Forget about the church for a second. Forget about everything around you for a second. Lock yourself in a room. Ask God, do I have a relationship with you? You know, there are two ways you can die. Only two ways. You can die in the Lord, or you can die in your sin. You know, Jesus says in John 8, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." You know, people die in different places. Some people die in their bed. Some people on the hospital bed. Some may have a car accident or anywhere else for that matter. But where you don't want to be dying is in your sins. You want to make sure that when you die, you're dying in Christ and that you know Christ and that heaven is your permanent citizenship. You know, a lot of us, like myself, we've migrated from somewhere else. You know how eager we are at the beginning to get the citizenship in Australia? Remember that eagerness you had? Do you have that eagerness to get a citizenship in heaven? You know, when I come to my end, one thing that I don't want to have around me and around my heart is sin. You know, we need to be done with that a long time ago. You know, God says He wants us to have victory over it now. This is the will of God, for us to have victory over sin now. So yes, that moment is going to come. Unfortunately, that moment is going to come for us Christians, fortunately, when we have to step away from these rags and we meet our Savior Christ face to face. And if there is anything in the Scriptures, if there's absolutely anything that should make you and I courageous, that should make our mothers here tonight bold, confident, cheerful, it is exactly this, that the finish line is just ahead. You know, I'm not sure if any of you have ever sat down recently just to think about your desires, your goals. I think it's really good. Take some time, sit down with your mom or dad, sit down with your husband or wife, think about your earthly and spiritual goals. A few nights ago, I was coming back on a train. It was late, I finished work late. I was thinking about the loss of my dad. And I thought about this question. I thought, what do I desire most in this life above everything else? All of us here tonight, we know what the right answer is. But have you ever asked yourself at the deepest level? I mean, think about all the things that we normally desire. You know, we have unmarried people here tonight. They desire to get married. It is a very strong desire. You know, we have a desire for intimacy. We have a desire for food and drink, a desire to have a happy and healthy family. It doesn't stop there. There's desire to have more wealth. You know, we get a pay rise. I recently changed jobs and I had a big pay rise. It makes you happy for a while. And then you want more. Isn't that the same with all of us? We just keep desiring more and more of these things in this world. There's many things we desire. There's houses, more investments to have, desire to drive the fastest car, go on the most luxurious holiday. And you think about your children, the desires they may have to be really good at sports, to be good at school, to be popular among their friends, to have the latest phone, to have the latest fashion. Even amongst pastors and missionaries, you know, there will be desires to have a larger ministry. You know, I'm not saying any of these are necessarily bad or good, but these are the sort of things we are wrestling with, wanting and desiring every day. So I was thinking about the things that I desire, and the one thing that jumped at me right away was that I truly want Christ more than anything. But at the same time, the second most important thing to me was I just desire not to sin anymore. You know, I want to be done with that. You know, it doesn't matter how small or big the sin is. I want to be done with that in my life. I want to live my life as Christ wanted us all to live. Overcomers of sin. You know, I want to please Him perfectly. I want to see Him face to face. And at the deepest level, I think, isn't that something we all want? I mean, you may be struggling with sin at the moment. You may be suffering in the body, but at the deepest level, do you desire God? And how often do you think about it? Not long ago, I preached about drifting away, and I think it's a genuine concern for us. And even in this church, we can sit here, we have the best program, the best music. Slowly, slowly, some of us are just drifting away. We're drifting away from that love that we have for God. God is coming here and warning us tonight. He's saying, don't let unbelief creep into your life. You know, sometimes I think back, I look at our lives now and I see all the distractions and I just think back, I don't know, to the 1800s, let's say. I think back about that time and the Christians at that time, you know, they didn't have the technologies like we do around us now. And I was trying to imagine what is the Christian life back then? And I think, for starters, it would probably be very unusual for mothers to be working. Probably the mother back then would be at home looking after the kids, and the way of life back then would allow that to happen. But I mean, even without that, they had no mobile phones, they had no tablets, no television, no Facebook, no electricity. So what did they do? I can only imagine that the dad, after a long day, long hard day at work, he comes home, you know, he chucks his jacket on the side, sits on the couch. There's a wooden fireplace probably. He's just looking outside the window at the fields. He has so much time just to sit, to think, to pray, spend time with his family. No distractions around him. But these days we're just so busy that we hardly ever think about what matters most. Hardly ever have time to sit down and just pray, even at the meals. Quickly, quickly, eat, let's go, we're running late. You know, the world around us and our sinful flesh is just constantly encouraging us to desire more and more of this world. Some of you would have probably heard early this year, I think it was in America somewhere, there was the largest lottery. I think the jackpot was something like ridiculous, like $1.5 billion or something like that. You know, people were lining up like crazy to buy this lottery ticket in the hope that they will strike it rich. You know, and it's not just unbelievers, but even many Christians can so easily fall into this trap. But isn't it interesting that most of the things that the world wants, it's out of their reach. But the things that the Christians should want, it is within our reach. Because God has given it to us freely. You don't need to go and buy a lottery ticket to enter heaven. Just believe in Jesus. Repent. You know, most of these lucky jackpot winners, if you read up on Google, if you read up the stories, follow it up, there's something very common amongst them. The ending is really bad. You know, you look at them and there is bankruptcy, there is depression, there's drugs, there's alcohol, prostitution. They end up losing everything. But unfortunately, some of us can fall into the same temptations. Love of money, desire for more of it. You know, we could be lining up at the place that they sell these tickets. We could be lining up in there, ashamed if anyone sees us. And I can just imagine Jesus coming, tapping us on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, my child, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" You know, for me personally, the Holy Spirit has convicted me many times and led me to repentance with this verse. You know, our Lord Jesus says, "If you desire to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Let go of the desires of your flesh and let me be your Lord and Savior, the one you seek to please." You know, this is not a small matter. You know, whether you're a mother at home looking after your kids or whether you're out there working, there is a battle that needs to be fought daily. You know, we may not be missionaries and we may not be suffering persecution, but there is spiritual battles to be fought at our home, at our work, anywhere we are. You know, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, I like what he says here. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Or in other words, prepare your minds for action. You know, there is action required by us. Did you know that? You know, Peter is like this commander in the battlefield. I used to love computer games when I was growing up. Used to love battlefields. Used to love being a commander. Peter is like a commander. He sees the enemy coming across the field. He's at the front line, holding the line, and looks at all the Christians coming. Some of them are dragging their feet on the floor. He says, prepare your minds for battle. So how do we do that? Let's read the rest of the verse. It says, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Peter is saying, if you want to prepare for battle, you have to have a hope in Christ. And your mind must be fully set upon eternity and what Christ has already done for you on the cross. And then Paul comes along. He comes along and just goes, hits us with this reality. Paul goes, you're going to be separated from your body, whether you like it or not. You know, I personally started to realize that the problem we have with all our electronics and all our communication devices, they're just so much of a distraction. You know, the result of using or overusing them is that we stop putting our hope in Christ and we end up living a defeated Christian life. I mean, think about it. How many times, and I have to say it has happened to me many times. How many times for you, think about it. You went home from work, you sat down and you thought, you know what? I'm going to read the Bible tonight and I'm going to pray before bed. Or some of you may say, I want to read the Bible tonight with my partner, pray together before bed. But before you know it, you got distracted with your phone, the emails, something nice was on TV. You put that on, and then comes 11:30, 12, you're tired. You drag your feet to bed, and you just say a two-line prayer, and then you just doze off to sleep. You know, we have so many excuses for giving God our very least. And yet we have so much time. Some people have time to go for a 5-kilometer run every night. But to spend 5 minutes at the end of the night with God, that is tough in this day and age, isn't it? You know, that is, it's just sad. You know what makes a man leave his home and go out there like Adi and Dana to be a missionary? You know what does that? That desire to lay your life for Christ? You know where that desire comes from in a mother who stays at home to raise her children? She may have sacrificed a career for it and the status that this world gives her. You know what is there behind all that? It is that hope ahead. A hope we have in Christ and His salvation. You know, the mothers raise their children praying that they will have the same hope and faith in Christ as they have. And the truth is that our Australian way of life, with all the stuff that we have, the cluster of things that we have piled up, it is a rich place. It is comfortable. Too, too comfortable. We can so easily get distracted. We can so easily fix our mind on this earth. You know, when my dad passed away, he wasn't poor. He had a lot of possessions. You know, in fact, he had a medical clinic. He had a dental clinic. He even had a chemist back home in Iran. And yet when he came to visit us for a few occasions, he was still asking for help with money. You know, he was taking back belongings for his family back home. And now, like every one of those people who have passed away, he has left this world with nothing. He has left it all behind. So what good is it? Tell me, what good is it storing all these treasures if you're going to lose your soul over it? It is so very tragic, but it is so true that we can get caught up into the same sin. You know, in the last bit of time that is left, I know I need to finish early because I started way too early. I want to finish by talking about these two realities. You know, think about the reality of when we go to heaven. Think about heaven. Nothing dies in heaven. Have you thought about that? Nothing decays. You know, I put food in the fridge. Look at it in a few days, it smells. In the fridge, before the expiry date, it smells. Nothing decays in heaven. Have you thought about it? And on this earth, no matter how beautiful, you know, we have a lot of beautiful and handsome people in this church, including me. none of this beauty matters. We're going to leave every one of these beautiful people behind. These bodies are going to be left behind. You may be in the prime of your youth. You may be really toned up. Some of the youth here that have a part of SLAM, they're very fit. They're very toned up. But none of these bodies are going to come with you. You know, I'm not suggesting we should stop exercising or being healthy, but really, think about it. What is the point of these big guys really toned up? No God in them. No Holy Spirit. What is the point? It's just so empty, so shallow. You know, the presence of Holy Spirit indicates that we are children of God. And Holy Spirit, He doesn't discriminate. He can be slim, He can be fat, He can be short, He can be tall. He does not discriminate. You know, we have a generation of people, generation of young people who are obsessed with their physical looks. You know, to the point, it is sad. You know, I've got family members like that, but to the point it's sad that they starve themselves and they end up getting disorders, you know, eating disorders. You know, if only these people who are this obsessed with looks, if they were only just half as obsessed with Christ, half as obsessed with reading the Bible, you know, God says, seek me and I'll add everything else you need to your life. You know, Apostle Paul, he's clear that our lives could end at any moment. You know, we're so fragile that he compares us to a jar of clay. We can break so easily. Think about the moment you leave this body behind. Picture with me tonight. Just picture yourself in heaven for a second. There's going to be peace. There's going to be no more troubles of this flesh. You're going to be done with sin. You know, sin is going to be like this monster with his feet chained on the ground. He can't follow you up in heaven. Paul says that in this body we groan or cry out in pain, longing to put on our heavenly body. Are you looking forward to casting off your wretched body and becoming one with Christ? Are you looking forward to going to heaven? If this is not your desire, and if this doesn't encourage us during our troubles, then we haven't fully understood the love of Christ. So what are we to do? We have to fight. You know, this is a season of fighting, a season of prayer, a season of fasting, and not being distracted. In the midst of all the things that we are going through, all that you may be wrestling with tonight, whether your children may have gone astray, whether you have a medical report that says you have cancer or you're terminally ill, we need to stay close to Christ in prayer and not lose hope. Romans 8:29 says, it's an amazing verse, Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Isn't it just amazing that we're not just going to cast this body away and be done with sin? We're not just going to meet our Savior. The Bible says we're going to be conformed to the image of His Son. Think about what that means. There is Christ in all His glory. Everything that He loves, we're going to love. Everything that He hates, we're going to hate. Everything that He finds offensive, we will find offensive. Whatever He delights, we will delight. All His desires, think about the desires of Christ, pure desires, so shall ours be. You know, and the love that Christ has for His Father, can you imagine having that love for the Father? There He is, glorified forevermore. We're not going to be wrestling with our temptations anymore. We're just going to be singing praises to God. You know, all our tears wiped away. I don't know what you're going through tonight. All your tears wiped away. No more diseases, no cancer, no sorrow, no more pain, suffering. This is what it means to put off the body. No more hatred, no more worldliness, anger, jealousy, greed. All these things are gone. We'll be permanently with Christ. But you know, regardless of all this, the most important thing is that we're at home with the Lord. No matter what kind of Christian experience you've had to date, think about it. I don't know when you got baptized. no matter what experience you had to date, it compares nothing to the glory of Christ, which you'll be exposed to once we're in His presence. You cannot compare it. Have you ever thought about what you're going to say? I always imagine this, you know, God willing, if I end up going to heaven, I always imagine this and I say, what am I going to say when I meet my Savior? You know, I think we're going to be speechless at first. You know, just standing in the awe of His glory. Finally, our race is over. We'll be standing there. The joy of the Lord just filling us. You know, and what it reminds me of is one of my favorite stories from Easter. We recently just had Easter. You know the story of Mary Magdalene? I really like that passage where Jesus Christ is revealed to him, to her. And at the beginning, you know how she thinks that he's the gardener and she says, you know, where have you put the body? What amazes me at that moment is we are so similar to Mary when she went to the tomb. You know, in Mary's life, she had wept over Jesus Christ's feet. She had washed his feet. She had seven demons cast out of her. You know, she loved Christ. She was walking with him wherever he was speaking. He was the delight of her life. And now he was gone. She didn't know what was happening. You know, those early Christians didn't understand, didn't have the privilege we have today. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about when he said, I'm going to resurrect. They didn't understand that. Mary, her object of love, her object of affection was taken away. But here's what I want you to notice. Here is Mary, and she thinks Jesus is the gardener, and she says, where have you taken the body? Do you remember what Jesus says to her? All he says is, Mary. And she knew right away. And you know what happened? The joy that she had, the desire that she had, she wants to embrace her. She wants to throw her arms around him and not let go. Kind of like, you know, when your kids go away for a while and they come back, you just want to grab them and give them that hug. And listen to what Jesus says to her in John 20:17. He says, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. As if to say, Mary, this is not the time to hold on to me. I know you want to hold on to me. I know you want to embrace me, but not yet. As if to say, only once I've ascended to my Father, only then. I believe when we meet our Savior, we're not going to be held at arm's length. You know, Jesus will be waiting to embrace us. Everything that He loves, everything that loves in Him will be overflowing for us. He says, my bride, come to me. My child, come to me. There's not going to be any reservations. He's not going to hold back of His love. You know, I'm not sure if you've noticed. I'm going to finish soon. I'm not sure if you've noticed this. The Bible doesn't really talk much about heaven as such, about us Christians going to heaven. It doesn't use those words as such. He talks about it, the Bible talks about it as enter into the joy of your Master. Or it says things like, I will come again and take you up to myself. You know, and I don't want to be going to heaven if there is no Christ. Think about a heaven without Christ. Heaven is not heaven without Christ. You know, if somebody came into this room tonight and offered you this, he said, brother, sister, I know you're in suffering. I know you're in pain. I know you're in need of money. I'm going to give you everything. On top of that, I'm going to guarantee you, you're not going to go to hell. Good deal, right? And then he said, but there's a condition. You don't get to spend eternity with Christ. How many of you truly will put your hand up and say, yeah, yeah, that's me? How many? Because that is going to show you your true love, whether you have love for Christ or not. Are you going to heaven for Christ, or are you just trying to avoid hell? You know, I hope you've reached a point in your Christian life where as much gratitude as you may have for being saved from hell, you have more desire to meet Christ. You know, the greatest punishment will not be suffering in the lake of fire. The greatest punishment will be not having Christ. I want us to understand that in that first moment when you come into His sight, you know, when you gaze into His eyes, this is the one who This is the one who said, my desire is for you to be with me. It's not because we are like Mary and desire to embrace him, but it is actually his great desire. Jesus is the one who loves you. He's the one who paid the price for you. You know, I have this medicine at home that I have to take every day. Believe it or not, I have not ever forgotten to take this medicine for the last 10 years. You know why? Because I care about my health. But do we care as much about our spiritual health? Why is it so easy to not forget to have your medication, but it is easy to forget to read the Bible? It is easy to forget to pray. Why is it that some of the females, some of the ladies in our church can read a 500-page novel overnight, but they can't get through Psalms in a month? Why? You know, here we are, the people who will be raised to meet Christ, and as such people, we are to seek him first above all things. Yet, we find so many of us, we worry about tomorrow. You know, worrying cannot add an inch to your life. Can you now see, after all this, can you see what Apostle Paul was talking about? We can indeed be always of good courage. How? If we have our hope in Christ, and regardless of what you're going through tonight, if you have your hope in Christ, you can be courageous. You know, I pray we can all have this glorious confidence in Christ, and I hope that we can fix our minds on him. May it be so. Amen.